A month ago, on Pentecost, we were taught, this is on the Bible correspondence course, only the first fruits are now called. God is not trying to convert the world now, believe it or not. Now is the time God is calling to salvation only a tiny minority. First fruits of salvation. Then, he also said on the first page here, the vast majority of your Bible will be called later, most not until Christ returns. So this isn't the time that God is trying to offer salvation to everybody. Now, is this true? Do you know it's true? Can you prove it? If somebody asks you to prove that, can you prove it? And there is always a KISS method, which means keep it simple, stupid. But the Bible is very simple to understand doctrine, if it's revealed to you where God makes it easy to understand. So what I want to do this morning, let's prove that the whole world has been cut off from God's Spirit. Only the first fruits have been offered the Holy Spirit. First fruits are also called the elect. And we are being trained to be kings and priests and to rule and teach in the world tomorrow. That's why you're here. You're here to be trained to teach. Now, if mankind was cut off completely, turn to Genesis 3, 22 and 24. And through just a few verses, we can actually prove that nobody is called except who God called out of this world. Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. So now lest he put forth his hand and eat, and off take the tree of life, and eat and live forever. God does not want us to live forever with a carnal mind. The world is bad enough living in with a carnal mind, but he doesn't want you to do that. Then in verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Now, so he drove the man out, and he placed the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which covered turned every way to keep the way from the tree of life. He didn't want anybody else to take of the tree of life with a carnal mind. Now, does this mean people in the Old Testament, none of them ever received the Holy Spirit? Does this mean that Israel, God's chosen nation, never received the Holy Spirit? Does this mean the prophets in the Old Testament never received the Holy Spirit? Well, in there, yes, the prophets did. But we're going to show you in the New Testament why they were chosen and everybody else was rejected. Now, does God give the Holy Spirit to Israel? And if not, are they lost? The answer is going to be in the New Testament. And I found out that the easy way of everything is usually you can search the whole Bible, go through all the Old Testament, read it and study it, trying to find out who has the Holy Spirit. All you got to do is go to the New Testament, and this New Testament will tell you in just a few verses. So the New Testament is there. When they talk about the Lamb of God in the Old Testament, how do you know it's Jesus Christ? New Testament. So the New Testament is there to reveal the knowledge. Now turn to Romans chapter 11. And verse 25. He says, well, I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant of this mystery. Now, this is a mystery that God's going to reveal to us. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits. And what is this mystery? That blindness, in part, has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So blindness has happened to Israel in the Old Testament. When? Until the Gentiles have come in. So the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Then in verse 26. Then so all Israel... Then, and said, all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, there's another interesting thing in that verse. You can do a lot of research and a lot of reading to find out, is Jacob and Israel the same name? In one verse, God shows you All Israel shall be saved, that is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away godliness from Jacob. So when Christ comes, he's going to turn away godliness from Jacob. For this is the covenant unto them when I take away their sins. Now, let's turn to Isaiah 59. And one of this has been foretold. See, they could have understood it in the Old Testament if God would have opened their eyes. But in Isaiah 59, this is the same scripture, but this is where it came from. But if we look at it, it says, and the Redeemer, John 59:20. I'll give you time to turn there. I'm accused of not doing that. Of course, the thing is, I mark my pages. I'm so scared that I'm going to tell you to turn somewhere, and then I can't find it. So I go ahead and mark it ahead of time, so I get a head start. And the Redeemer, here it says Redeemer and not Deliverer, the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and to them that turn their transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. And as for me, my covenant, and in my Bible I wrote down New Covenant, and this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words, which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy children's, and my seed. So God is saying when he returns, and he calls Israel at that time, and he offers them salvation, his spirit is going to be put in them, and in their children, and in their children's children. So we won't have to worry about it at that time, and we'll be there to teach them. Once we teach them, God will open their mind, and even the children and grandchildren will know. Now, as God cast away his people that lived in the Old Testament, let's turn back to Romans. We see here that God said that he was going to give Israel, when he comes and returns and lives for 1,000 years, and he rules for 1,000 years, that he will go to reveal God's truth. But what about all the people before? Turn to 11, verse 11, 1. All the people that live back there that are dead. Verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people because he didn't give them the Holy Spirit? Because they didn't know? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, but he didn't give them the Holy Spirit. They couldn't have salvation. They weren't called to salvation. So when is it going to be offered to them? Better get down on another page. I'm ahead of myself. I'm ahead of my notes, I should say. Look at verse 7. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, that the election has. So there is a group of people that are called the first group. There is a group of people that's called the elect. And when the called out was, as Israel, what then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Turn to page 11 now. I mean, verse 11. I'm going to get you a bigger podium. Widen this about 3 feet. Now you don't have to do this, but I said that in Fort Wayne, and the next time I come up, they had one to put on top of it and widened it for me. So I got always too many notes. Look at verse 11. And I say there, have they stumbled, talking about Israel, that they should fall? God forbid. God, rather, through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. So God's plan and his purpose is for not to call Israel in their fall, then will offer salvation to the Gentiles and to provoke them to jealousy. And verse 12, now if the fall of them is the riches of the world and the diminishing of them is the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, in my Bible, I looked it up. How much more is their full inclusion? How much more, when Israel is offered salvation, their full inclusion? God wants to save everybody. And I really know that. Why I try and suggest things to my wife or my son or different, keep trying to plant little seeds when I tell everybody else to shut up. You're not going to, it's when God calls them is when it'll be. Now, when's it going to happen? Look at verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So all of Israel, God did not give them the Holy Spirit. He gave them the law. He showed them that they could not live by the law, and that the law, if they didn't have God's Spirit, that's one of the purposes of it. So they're going to receive life from the dead. Now turn to Ezekiel 37. And we'll see when this was foretold. You notice that all of this is foretold in the Old Testament, but it's revealed in the New Testament how it's going to happen. But in Ezekiel 37 and verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the Spirit of the Lord and sent me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. In verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord God, only you know. In verse 5, this saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay muscles upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and I will breathe in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now think about this. When people are resurrected, when I'm in my dad's grave, and mother and brother and sisters, which I hope I make it, and they're resurrected, they will know they died. So when we bring them back alive, they have flesh and blood on them, and God gives them the Spirit, they will know the Lord. Now there is some that will still reject, but God's plan is to save everybody. He wants all to be saved, not just us. Now we're called for a particular purpose to help Him bring salvation to the world. So you have to realize that is true. Now in verse 10. So I prophesied and commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet with an exceedingly great army. In verse 12, therefore prophesied and say unto them, this saith the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come out of your grave and bring you into the land of Israel. For what purpose? And you shall know that I am the Lord. Do we know that God is the Lord and you're following the living God? When I have opened your graves and all my people and brought you up out of the grave, that's when you'll know the Lord. And shall I put my Spirit in you. Now remember that was brought out earlier when he's going to offer them redemption. He said he'd put his word in their mouth, he'd put the Spirit in their mind, and they would know God, their children and their children's children. And I shall put my Spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it. So when they're resurrected, you know, I can tell my parents, and you'll be able to tell yours, and they're, look at the 6,000 years of what God let man do. He wanted you to realize how bad sin is, and you would destroy yourself off of the face of the earth if Christ didn't come. So you are going to know, he's going to perform it, we're going to help him perform it, and the world is going to become to know, and most people, just about everybody, will be called after Christ returns, except us. And we're called for a purpose, and if the purpose was brought out during the sermonette, we got to repent. Repent of what? Repent of sin. Do you know what sin is? Most of the world doesn't. You know, sin is a transgression of God's law. They say Christ, you know, wiped it all away and you don't have to do anything. But we have to repent of sin, which is brought out in the sermonette. Now, did the prophets have the Holy Spirit? And if so, why? Because earlier I said they did have the Holy Spirit. We see that Israel did not have the Holy Spirit. The salvation will come when Christ returns. Turn to Ephesians 2:18. I've always had a hard time. This printing is getting smaller. And I went and got new glasses, and it's still small. I can't get a new Bible. I got so many marks in this and so many things. If I want to know where something's at, I can turn to a certain book and go through it, and I know what's up in the left-hand corner. And so I can't forfeit the Bible. I have to have it. Verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit. Talking about Israel and the Gentiles. They both have access to God by one Spirit. Now therefore you are so no more strangers and foreigners and fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Now, I looked up the word household. It means family. You know, in Genesis 1, God said, let us make a God family. You know, there was two there. The Elohim is plural. You look it up and you see how much time the Bible talks about a family if you really look it up. Now, in verse 20, and you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So what was the purpose of giving the prophets and the people, the ones that he did give it to in the Old Testament, to lay the foundation of the church? In the Old Testament, the prophets and the patriarchs and those that have the Holy Spirit laid the foundation of the church. Now, in verse 21, in whom all the building will fitly frame together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. We will be a holy temple, not a carnal-minded temple. You'll have holy, righteous, perfect character. But whose character will that be? It'll be God's. God's character is going to put it in you. Romans 5 said you have to have the love of God. You have to have the faith in Christ, but you're saved by the faith of Christ. So it's Christ's mind in you. We'll get to that in a minute. In verse 22, in him also you are built together for the habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. So it's through the Spirit, but the Spirit wasn't offered to Israel in the Old Testament. It was offered to Adam and Eve, and they rejected it. But the Holy Spirit, you have to have it. But right now, it's not being offered except to those that are being called out. So we say it's now is the foundation is being laid by the prophets. Now God is building the church by calling us out of this world, out of the Babylonian system. And you're into a holy temple and through the Holy Spirit. Now turn to 1 Peter 1:10 and 11. Well, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of your life. Verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets had inquired about. The prophets inquired to know about this salvation. And they searched diligently and prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They prophesied about the coming of Christ because you're only saved by God's grace. You didn't earn anything. You didn't come to God. God called you into Jesus. You didn't find him. He found you. You're not here because you have some great knowledge and your research has taken you and you found God. No, God called you. And therefore, he thinks we can overcome, as the sermonette was brought out. If you repent, and we got to repent of sin and know what sin is. And verse 11, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them. The Spirit of Christ was in the prophets in the Old Testament, and they foretold of the grace that God was going to offer salvation to everybody. And when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. So in the Old Testament, they had the Holy Spirit, the prophets did, and the only ones that did, and anybody that God called for a particular position in there, the suffering of Christ and the glory which should follow. What's the glory? When you read that word glory, it says in Philippians 4:30, I think, that this vile body will be changed like into God's glorious body. 1 John 3:2, it says, I don't know what I'll be like, but I do know when I see him, when he returns, I will be like him. We're going to have a glorious body like Jesus Christ. We're going to be born into the family of God. And that's why you are called. But you're not going to receive that body with a carnal mind. You're going to have to overcome, repent, and grow. I was brought out in the sermonette. Now, you won't be perfect. When God changes you to a spirit being, you'll still have to have, he'll give you the rest of that spirit mind that you'll need. But we should be growing, and we should be coming closer to God. Now, turn back to Romans 11 and verse 7. we read here, what then? Israel has now not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has. So there is a group of people that God has called out, called the election, and the rest were blinded. Verse 8, and according as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, even they shall not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Now, turn over to verse 28. Now, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, us, the called out ones, those that God has called to Jesus Christ, those that God has opened your eyes, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Look at verse 30. For as you in times past have not believed God. See, in the times past, you didn't believe God. I went to college when I was 20 years old and read the Bible and had a dictionary beside me. I don't know if there was any translations way back then as an elder. Have to get him. Not that he doesn't get everybody. You know, Dom doesn't do that. But in the times past, I went to college and I read the Bible from the time I was 20 to 35 years old, and I did not know what the kingdom of God was. I thought I was worshiping God. I quit smoking. I quit drinking. I got religion. Started drinking. But in moderation. I never started smoking again. But in times past, you have not believed God. Yet you have now obtained mercy through Israel's unbelief. You have received mercy because Israel was blinded and has been offered to the Gentiles, and now you receive mercy. Look at 31. Even so have they also not now believed. Israel has not now believed. Through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. So we obtain mercy from God because Israel didn't believe, and they're going to receive mercy because of our mercy. So we have to learn to have mercy. We have to develop the mercy that God wants us to have. Look in verse 32. God has concluded everybody in unbelief. The whole time. You didn't come because you knew anything. You were come because God called you. That he might have mercy upon all. So when it comes time for God to do it, he will know that it all came from God's mercy, and we need to know that now. We don't understand anything unless God opened our heart and opened our mind. If you don't believe that, try and teach it to somebody and see how well they get it. You know, they will not, and they cannot. Now, what about the New Testament? Surely Jesus would have wanted somebody to understand, wouldn't you? You think so? Turn to Matthew 13. And let's see if that's true. I want you to look at verse 2 first. Matthew 13 and verse 2. Great multitudes were gathered together. I mean, here Jesus has great multitudes. Not 20 or 50 or 150 people. Man, he could really lay it on him, couldn't he? With multitudes. And then verse 8, and he spoke these things unto them in parables. Then he gave a parable. And then verse 10, the disciples came and said unto them, why are you speaking in parables? Why does the world think you were speaking in parables? When I was 20 years old and read the Bible till I was 35, it was so you would understand. That's what they told me. But when I read the Bible, the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak in parables? And he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and them it's not given. We know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I didn't know what the kingdom of God was. I thought the kingdom of God was within you. But that isn't what our Bible says. It does say that in the King James. But it means in the midst of you. Christ was in the midst of them. Now, on these parables, look in verse 16. He said, but blessed in your eyes, for they see, and your ear they hear. You can understand now. Look at verse 17. But truly I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see this. Many people in the Old Testament, many prophets, wished they could see and knew what you knew. But they prophesied and told about Christ coming and the grace. Now, let's look at verse 19. Every one of these is a parable about the kingdom of God. Verse 19. and one heareth the word of the kingdom, and he understands it not. So there's a parable about the word of the kingdom. About verse 24. And another parable he put into them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man sowing good seed. And then in verse 31, another parable he put forth unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed. And then in verse 33, another parable spoke he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leavening. Now you have to be careful, because I know ministers, not in our church, that take this parable, and because it's leavening, they say leavening is good, and then they take it into another doctrine, and I'm saying, wait a minute, every one of these is about the kingdom of God. Now, the one before, a parable is about the mustard seed. Well, I didn't become a mustard seed. You know, mustard seed grows smart, so small, gets great. Here we have, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leavening, which a woman took and hid in all three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. What three measures is that? Us, calling, during the millennium, 1,000 years, and during the last great day, when the rest people. So God is like a leavening. His kingdom is growing. It starts small, and then we're going to be in the kingdom of God. Now, verse 44 and 45 and 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like the treasure hidden in the field. 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking goodly pearls. 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. So, and when you teach this, it's a kingdom of heaven. It's a kingdom of means from. The kingdom from heaven that will come. And we should know that. In Zechariah 14, when Christ comes, his feet will land on Mount Olivet, and he'll be kingdom over all the world. And who's going to be with him? The saints, the holy ones, the ones that God's called and changed in you into a spirit being. Right now, he's trying to change you into having holy, righteous, perfect character. God's holy, righteous, perfect character. Now, turn to Mark 4. I'm looking around. I don't see any hands yet. But my voice carries it. If I didn't have this microphone, Don couldn't even hear me. My voice goes out and tapers right down. And but God, my wife doesn't want me to have one at home. She likes the fact that my voice goes out and goes right down. Now, I've got a wonderful wife. We've been married. Today I told Clevenger, I said, you've been married 64 years. And he said, well, how'd you know that? And I said, well, I seen it in a bulletin, and might have been last week's bulletin, and it wasn't in last week's. Then about a time I thought, well, I might have read it in Pernelli's bulletin, because he sent that bullet to all of you, but he didn't send it to me. So he shows partiality. Angie asked me, don't you receive that bulletin? I said, no. So I'm sure she's told him by now that I don't receive it. And then somebody else today, Sue and Lowell, said they don't receive it, and he said he was going to send it to them. So I think this sermon is about you right now. Repent and change. Oh boy, that's nice to do something like that. But most people are talking to me. Mark 14, verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now remember that. Unto you is given the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The world did not know what it is. And they don't understand it, and when they do, are told about it. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive. They will hear if you tell them about it and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So time is not yet for them to know it. This it's not the time. This is Satan's world. And God wants, when he comes in Matthew 24, well, I'll get that at the end. I got that in the sermon. In this age, before Christ begins to rule over the whole earth, each person is specifically called. This was in the correspondence course. Like the prophets before. God called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Daniel, and the prophets, and we are being called specifically the same way. They were called to lay the foundation of the church. We are called to be a part of the church, part of the body of God. We should develop the same mind. Like the people before, the prophets were called before. The first fruits are called for a specific mission, or a special mission, a purpose preparatory to the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth and the salvation of the majority. And when I gave this up in Fort Wayne, I bet I brought it up. I'm going to get a chance to convert the whole world. God is going to have me and you to change the whole world. Why am I trying to change one individual at a time? Well, I finally learned that. I come near getting the divorce, learned it, but I learned it. You know, I was a little slower than most people, and I am slow. God called me, showed me the truth, and it only took me a year to keep the Sabbath. You know, the minister would come and visit Freeman and then there and call me on the phone. Did you keep the Sabbath yet? And I said, no, not yet. Then he would leave and come back and visit Freeman, because I knew Freeman, and I might have told you this before, but you need to know it again. He thought he had authority. He had a whistle. He was a skate guard. And I used to go around, he blew the whistle at me all the time. But he was a good skater. And I knew, so I've known Freeman for a long time. But the minister would always go there and call me. And then after about a year later, I decided, well, I had to do it. My mind told me what I should do. My carnal mind, my inside, didn't want to. And it's what the sermonette was about again. You have to fight your human nature. Your human nature, it isn't easy to do what God wants you to do, but it is once you do it. Once you do it and you see the benefits of not all the problems that people have sinning, and that's what God wants us to learn. Look at the world, look at the problems they're having, and it's all because of sin. And we are to do that, and in the kingdom of God, we'll teach people how not to sin. Right now, there's no exception that can be made. The world as a whole must come out, must be cut off from the Holy Spirit. And see, it's easy to prove it. Adam was cut off. It says in the New Testament, Israel never received the Holy Spirit. Not until Christ comes. Most people are going to be called after Christ comes, and we should learn this at Pentecost. The one thing I do, every holy day, I go get the lesson out on the holy day and reread it. And I usually find something either I forgot or never heard or renewed, and you need to know what the holy days are for. Now, didn't God want the Gentiles to do it? He told the disciples that, you know, he wasn't, only they could receive it. Turn to 1 Corinthians. And by the time we get here, it's amazing how many times God told them, you can't receive the Holy Spirit unless He calls you. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7. That we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The real kingdom of God is a mystery to the world, and you have to have the Holy Spirit. Even the hidden wisdom, so it's hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So this mystery of the kingdom was set up before the world. God's plan, He knew what His plan was. He knew about the holy day. And it's for our glory. What is our glory? When this vile body is changed like into His glorious body. We will be born into the family of God and have a mind and a body like God. But it is written in verse 9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them which love Him. You know that you're going to become, God is reproducing Himself. You're going to be born into the family of God. And the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them and to us by His Spirit. Now, if they didn't have the Spirit in the Old Testament, they didn't know it. It's revealed to us, you and I, the ones that God has called out by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. There is one thing that I was wanting to find. Verse 8, let's go back up to verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. For had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. We wouldn't have had a Savior. God had to have them blinded because from the time of Adam, they knew Christ said he would give up his body and come down and suffer and pay far more penalties than we have paid so that all of us can be forgiven our sins. But there, if God would have shown the princes of the world, they wouldn't have crucified him. So they had to have the Holy Spirit. Drop down in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. There is another spirit out there. There is another spirit that will try and get you to do things. It can't make you do things. God's spirit doesn't make us do something. It just shows us what is right and what the benefit of doing it and why we're called. But the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, which things also we speak not to the world with man's wisdom teach. We don't, and you have to be careful when you're reading other literature. You know, other literature and other religions don't tell all lies. They might have 50 or 75% of the truth. But then once you think they're right, then they'll slip Sunday into you. You know, Christ was, the one that I use all the time, when I came into the church, the reason they kept Sunday was because Christ was resurrected on Sunday. So I like to ask people, why do you keep the Sabbath? And they say, well, it's because it was holy and so forth. So to me, but I keep it because Christ was resurrected on Saturday. He was in there 3 days and three nights. He was buried before sunset. He was raised before sunset. So that is the one that really convinces me I'm in the right church. The Sabbath is a day to keep. You can prove it. And it's simple to prove it. It's simple to prove that Christ was resurrected on Saturday. And therefore you don't get involved in keeping a religion because he's resurrected on Sunday. Now, verse 10. Well, I'm always past that. Verse 14. But the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So don't try and teach men anything. And neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is not judged of no man. But I like to listen. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? For we have the mind of Christ. This is that holy, righteous character we're supposed to have. You're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And I'll get into something later on that shows how much we're going to need it when we're spirit beings. Now, how does he give? Who does he give the Holy Spirit to? Turn to Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit who God has given to them that obey him. We have to obey the Word of God. We've got to know the Bible is literal. We've got to believe what it says. And when we hear it and it tells us to do something, you know, God gave me a lot of time. He told me to keep the Sabbath, but a year later, I finally decided to do it. And I have kept it a few years. I don't want to tell you how many elderly years that I've kept it, but I have kept it. Now, turn to Acts 2:38. Which was read before. Then Peter said to them, repent. To obey God, you have to repent. You got to know what sin is. You got to be, when you repent of your sin, you got to know what sin is. One of them is breaking the Sabbath and also the holy days. And be sure that you don't even tell somebody, tell them the truth, but you got to have wisdom in doing that. He said unto them, and repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's still a gift. The only condition is that you have to repent and have God's Spirit and do it. And verse 39, for the promises is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. You were called. You're in the church here, and also the children. You are here because if their parents are called, God has offered it to you. You're called, and you want to surrender to God's word. Then look at 41. Then they gladly received the word. Now, it's more gladly for me to receive it now than it was when I told to close my business on a Saturday. You know, I wasn't rejoicing over closing my business. And I think I told you this story once. A man, we was at a convention. He said, "What's your goal in business?" And I said, "Well, I want to sell $1 million a year." And at that time, I was doing $800,000. And he got his pen out. "All you got to do is keep Saturday. Open on Saturday, and you'll reach your goal." I said, "Nah, wrong way to do it. I want to reach it, but I don't want to open on Saturday to do it." And I finally reached it. God bless him. I didn't make $1 million, by the way. I sold $1 million. There's a difference between making one and selling one. So here, people gladly, when they heard the word, this is what we have to be, really enjoy that we hear the word. Now, the Bible says we're to be rulers and teachers when Christ comes and we're resurrected. Let's see if that's right. Revelation 20. Well, if you go back to 19 and verse 15, "And out of the mouth goeth a sharp sword, and he should smite the nations. Here is Christ coming, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He'll be King of kings and Lord of lords." So this is when everybody's going to be offered salvation. Now, verse 2 and verse 20. "And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and he bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and seal him that he should deceive the nations no more." Now, if you believe the Bible is literal, it means he's deceiving the nations now. But he's going to be bound up where he can't deceive them anymore. And verse 6, "And I saw thrones." It doesn't say throne, just not God's throne. "I saw thrones, and they, plural, that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them." So you're going to be given judgment. That's what we should learn. We got to know the statutes, not just the laws. We got to learn the statutes and all the things that God wants us to know so we will know how to judge in the world tomorrow. And I'll get into that in just a little bit more. "And he gave them to them, and the souls of them that were beheaded for the word of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image." And you need to find out who the beast is. You need to find out what his image is. This is important because when these things happen, it'll increase your faith. The purpose of prophecy is when you see things that are going to happen and they do happen, you know you're in the right church, you know you have the Holy Spirit, and you know that God will be there to protect you. "Neither have seen the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they live and they reign with Christ 1,000 years. So these people that are going to sit on these thrones and God accepts, they're going to live and reign for 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. The rest of the dead, Ezekiel 37, when the rest of Israel is raised up, and then we can teach them. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On the second, on such the second death has no power. But the second resurrection is physical, Ezekiel 37. And they can die again. But we'll have the opportunity to help them to overcome and to grow. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. We get to take a part in the first resurrection and reign with Christ. At that time, this vile body will be like his glorious body. You'll have the mind of Christ. It will be easy to do what you want him to do. Now, will we be kings and priests? Turn to Revelation 5. And verse 10. You have to believe, for your young people, you have to believe the Bible is literal. And when I say literal, it interprets itself. You got to believe that the truth is there. Here it says, and he has made unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. So when Christ comes, Zechariah 14, his feet lands on Mount Olivet, the saints are going to be with him. He's going to rule all the earth and bring it to peace. And then we'll be able to teach these people what they need to know. Will we be sitting on God's throne with Jesus? Look at Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh, was that about that sermon there? He who overcomes, repent, change. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sit down with my Father in his throne. Right now, Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, on God's throne. But he's going to come and set up his throne, and we will get to sit with him on that throne. Now, what are you going to be doing This is what you're training for. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. Though any of you know, having a matter against another, you go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? In other words, you're not getting along with somebody and you're going to go to court, a carnal-minded court, to solve your problems between us? If you're going to rule in the world tomorrow, you better be solving those problems between you right now. Then it says, don't you know the saints are going to judge the world? I wonder what Protestants do with that verse. Don't you know the saints are going to judge the world? And if the world's going to be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? If we can't judge between each other, and even between our neighbors at home, if we can't make the right decision, how in the world are you going to do it when you're dealing with carnal-minded people that are being resurrected? One thing will help, when they're resurrected, they will know the Lord. God's going to give us a step up on it. Now, verse 3, know you not you shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? We're being taught to judge, learn God's judgment. One of these days I hope to give a sermon on it if somebody doesn't give it before, and I hope they do, so it'll help me too. Verse 4, if then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. In other words, when you have a problem, you don't always have to go to the ministry. The ministry might know, but they don't always know. I mean, certain things. Certain people have went to the minister, Darius, and asked about they got a mate that's not in the church. Well, I happen to be a minister, but I think Darius would have sent him to me anyway. Go see Gordon. And then the person came back to me and said, you know what the first two words you said to me? Shut up. He went home and told his wife. His wife said, that's the best advice you've ever got. And she also comes to church. Her health is not that good now. She's beginning to believe and to understand. You're not going to convert anybody. You have to shut up. But now, I speak to your shame. Is it so that not a wise man among you, not one that should be able to judge between the brethren? But there's something else I want to turn to. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Because I don't want anybody... I didn't say not to go to the ministry, because the ministry is here for a purpose. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints. The ministers are here, and I pray that God inspires me to bring you closer to God and bring me closer to God, and that we will learn how to surrender and repent and find out what we need to do. Purpose of the ministry. You should be going to them, but you don't have to go to them all the time. There's certain things that they're not educated in. The spiritual things they will be educated in. For the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. The body of Christ is those that have the Holy Spirit. Till all come in the unity of faith. So the ministry and the church and headquarters and everybody that's going to try to bring us into unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. But this also can mean the knowledge from the Son of God, not knowledge about God. A lot of people have knowledge about God. We have to have the knowledge of God in our mind. Unto is all God wants, a perfect person, a perfect man or woman. He wants you to become perfect unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are supposed to walk and act like Christ. Doing what? Well, what we're supposed to do, we got to learn to judge. If we can't judge between ourselves, then we got a major problem. If you got anybody in the church that you're not getting along with, make an effort. Find out who the problem is. I even find out at work sometimes when I have a problem with an employee, and I research it long enough, I trace a lot of it back to me. Some way that I did something and caused that person to react that way. Now, you don't have to turn to Matthew 24, but in Matthew 24:22, it says, no one would survive at this time unless it is cut short. for the elect's sake. We are going to help God save the world just because for the elect's sake, but God is letting the world go its way. We will show mankind during the millennium when they're resurrected, this world would have destroyed itself by following Satan and not keeping God's law. All God's laws are for your benefit. So you want to learn to keep them and ask God for the strength of that. The called out one, the church, the human race will be saved from destruction because of us, because of the called out ones, because you've given your life. My favorite verse that he quoted, Romans 12, all you got to do is give this body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And how you do it? Renew the mind. Read God's Word. See what it says. Obey it. If you don't understand it, then go to the ministry and find out. Or somebody else might know. Even the least in the church sometimes will know. And the least means they don't have to be somebody important if they have the answer to what your problem is. Then during the 1,000 years, we will help Jesus offer salvation to the living. We will be co-saviors with Christ. In Romans 8, 16 and 19, it says we're co-heirs. We'll inherit everything that Christ inherits. And this vile body will be changed like into his glorious body. We'll have a body like him. You will be co-saviors. And there'll be more than one or two people that we're going to convert. But they're going to be ready to listen. After the 1,000 years, the rest of the dead, in Revelation 20, will be resurrected and offered salvation through Christ and God's love and God's mercy, but also from our mercy. And when I say that's, and that's God's mercy. Our love, in Romans 5, it says our love is shed abroad in our heart to the Holy Spirit. It's God's love. It's not our love. It's not the human love that we have as a family. It's God's love that we're going to have and the mercy we're going to have when we deal with all the people that are resurrected. Now, I hope this helps you to understand that God is not trying to save the world now. The Holy Spirit wasn't offered to Adam and Eve. Well, it was offered to them, but they rejected it. The Holy Spirit was never offered to Israel. The Holy Spirit wasn't offered to people in the Old Testament, except the prophets and the patriarchs and the people that are laying the foundation of the church. We are being called to overcome and to repent and to be in the church, the building of the church. He is just calling the first fruits, the elect, to train us to be kings and priests, rulers and teachers, and to offer salvation to the world, and to be saviors with Jesus Christ.